Hey guys, welcome Viking fans. We have so much to talk about tonight. Season 5, episode 6 and 7, The Message and Full Moon. Let's do it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello everybody, hello Viking fans. It is time to talk some Vikings.
It is time to talk some Vikings.
Season 5, episode 6 and 7. My name is Jaco Vinnings. You guys can catch me on Twitter and on Instagram at Jaco Vinnings. Just somewhere on the screen. And I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Carrie D-Lane.
What's up? My name's Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D-Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
Very cool.
We have another member. Oh, no. You were going to say something nice.
I'll save that. We have another member, Steve.
Skål.
That's right, everybody. Skål. Well, I'm in the big screen with you guys. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. As always, keep the comments alive. Kerry is on the comments. We've got the comments on the big screen up there.
So not on my phone, I swear. It's all your comments.
Yeah,
on YouTube.
We're not tweeting or we should be tweeting.
Well, but we can do that too.
We can do that too. So tonight, Viking fans, we are doing storylines. We've got two episodes to talk about, 6 and 7, and they jump around all over the place. We're gonna hit it off right here with episode 6, and I want to get the small stuff out of the way real quick.
Do it.
All right. So it's me and you guys. And Kerry and Steve.
We're ready.
Let's do this. Okay, we're going to start with England.
Yes.
All right. So these guys are back at King Egbert's old castle.
Mm-hmm.
The place is basically in ruins for like the first few scenes, and then it's built and pretty, all pretty. And the main thing there is not much going on, but Alfred's saying that he's going to go on a pilgrimage. Oh my god, that did not go well.
You're like that word. Oh, my pilgrimage.
Goodness. Yes.
He's ready.
So where's he going?
Because to learn about his father. Where his father was a monk, where he learned his things. Oh, I didn't write down the name of that.
Linden's Farm.
There we are.
Linden's Farm. He's going to go to Linden's Farm because he wants to reconnect with his father.
Yes. And then some people left a comment last time saying that the other son, which I love that we always forget his name because he is that like, oh yeah, Aethelwulf has another, his real kid. We wrote it down.
Well, Aethelrod.
Athelrod. Yes, Athelrod. He was at the battle, though, when they were with the sewer system thing. I thought he was there, too, because he's like, okay, let's go. And he told the brothers to protect each other. So, anyway.
Something that happened last week, and we had like a discussion in the comments, which, by the way, make sure you guys check out the comments.
We love your comments.
We love your comments. We reply to it. We do all those kind of things. It's amazing. But that's about it that happens in England. Nothing much.
Yep.
The King Egbert is saying, not King Egbert, King Ethel. There's so many Ethels. Wolf is saying to his son Ethelrod that he will be the next king, which is one of his sons, and obviously Alfred is not one of his sons.
Yeah, someone said Ethelred. Yeah, it's interesting. We watched this with subtitles because it's just Ethelred. So much easier.
Yeah.
I thought they spelled it with an O-D, Ethelrod. But
I saw Ethelred last time, but I feel like I saw Ethelrod this time. So
depends who's doing the subs, I suppose.
Exactly. All right, that's it for England. Yeah. We're going to move this along because there's a lot of small parts working. We're going to move this along to King Harald Fainir, to Mirrigod. Mirrigod is where they are, apparently, is where they are at. And so the whole scene here starts with Ivar and Witzig arriving. Oh, I'm so sorry. This whole scene arrives with Ivar and Witzig arriving from England.
And they're like, yep, we're going to help you go take over Catacut.
Well,
and we got some other plans.
Well, we've got some other plans because they're in the mess hall or in their dining hall. And they're saying like, listen, well, first of all, I just want to mention that Astrid and King Harald in the beginning there, they were...
Called it. She's totally playing the long game. Side note.
Well, yes, exactly. Because she was so good in the beginning. She was like all in love in the forest and chasing each other around.
Maybe she actually likes him. And I think she does like him as like... a guy outside of what's going on. Like, I feel they get along
enough. She likes him like the guy that kidnapped her and forced her to marry her kind of way, you know?
Or I would like to think that she likes him at least a little bit. But yeah. Leray says that the first son was hit with the arrow in the last battle so that he stayed behind was with his mother when they returned. I thought he was there because the dad was like, yeah, go grab your brother and protect him. But maybe that was the battle before. They kind of blend together. And then, Leray, she is playing in the beginning. Okay. She is deep undercover.
She is deep undercover. Who else is deep undercover is Ivar. Because now the discussion in the mess hall is, listen. So we can attack them as long as, and this is Witzek saying, as long as Ivar is crowned king afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I thought that was a very risky move to say that out loud. Be like, wait, we'll talk about it later.
Later, it is a risky move, but then Ivar downplays it by saying, you don't have to worry about me, so we fight, we win.
Yeah,
I become king, but I'm a cripple, so how long can I possibly last?
I don't have good health. It won't be that long.
I mean, easy meet, and then obviously afterwards you can be the king of all Norway. But as they say later in the episode, it's just words.
When he tells his brother Fitzek, yeah, he's like, yeah, we're just saying stuff.
Exactly. Now, there's a lot of timelines playing in this little scene in Michigot. I don't even, hopefully I'm saying that. Midjot is what he said.
Close enough.
And so Ivar and Harald first, there's a scene between them where he literally cuts the shark in half, which I thought was amazing. Like,
that was a nice sword.
It is a nice sword. Which brings me to Egbert. Can you please explain what Egbert means?
Ah, yes. From the things that I've read in various history books before there was Google, and also just Googling up the name Egbert. It says bright edge on the first definition that comes up.
Bright edge. So bright edge meaning maybe sharp sword. Try and say that six times.
Yes, from all Germanic words. Now, talking about edges and blades, how many of those did we see in this episode?
You're right. That came out quite a bit in the whole two episodes we were watching.
Episodes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's about swords and blades and knives as presents and, you know,
daggers
and all kinds of stuff. So yes, definitely coming into play in both those episodes, especially the name Egbert, which means bright edge.
I like that they kept showing it on the grave marker.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, in case you guys didn't read it the first time, which we were like, wait, whose is it? Let's double check.
What did say? I did not listen to you, Kira. I'm so sorry.
No, I was saying that they had the multiple shots of the grave marker, because it was like the very first time you go, wait, who is it? Oh, yes.
It's King Egbert
with
a CK. Now, Ivar is talking to Hedman and is giving him a choice. So this is your choice. You either fight with me and you die, or you die in any way because I'm going to kill you if you don't fight with me.
Yeah, but you can fight and then kill heathens, so...
So that kind of makes sense,
it's
right?
It's a good thing,
so
yeah.
What do you think he should have done? We know what he did. What do you think he should have done?
Yes, because he was saying I get to die for my faith. So the thing with that is a little bit interesting, because I think he'd want to go out in battle rather than just, you know, end it. Or actually, no, he'd have Ivar end it.
Well, that's what he's thinking. I mean, it's coming later, right?
Yeah. I think he would enjoy the battle and get to kill more heathens.
Okay. And so Ivar is obviously saying he's basically, the whole point he brought him back is because he's jealous. And that I think he loves him. I think it's more than just being jealous. But he's strong, and he says you see him as a great warrior and as a whole person. And that's what Ivar essentially is striving.
I think he respects him as a warrior, for sure. Ragnar respected other warriors too. So it's one of those, like, one warrior to another. Be like, all right, I'm impressed by you.
Impressed by you, exactly. And then that's why he said, because in the next episode or later this episode, I can't remember because we watched so much, he once again tells him how much he admires him and why he, literally, this is why I brought you back. But we'll obviously get to that.
Mm-hmm.
Then Ivar and Witzek has a conversation, and where he said, like, listen, I don't know if I made the right choice to come with you, Ivar, and all that kind of jazz, and this is where Ivar tells him, don't worry what was said at the dinner table, because like you guys know at home, the dinner table is just words, right? It doesn't really matter what is said, it's just words. We're just keeping everybody happy at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Which means what?
Tell Harald, be like, yeah, you'll be king.
You'll be king.
And then he's like, but I could kill him. He could kill me. Who knows?
Yeah, no, you can
kill us.
It's
one of those, you need to keep your ally happy now. Deal with the later part later.
Yes,
that
exactly.
It hasn't happened yet.
And so Witzek is asking him, what do you really want in life? And this was a really interesting part for me, and really shitty part, really, where he says, I want to be famous. And it's funny, because in the first scene he's saying to King Harald, like,
oh, I want to be the most famous. Yeah.
Well, he wants to be the most famous. But in the first one he's saying to Harald, he's saying, I want revenge. That's all I want. With his conversation there. Then with his conversation with Hedmund, he's saying, Harald is like, why do everybody wants to be king? Like, he asked that question.
He's like,
why is everybody obsessed about king? I don't want to be king. And now he's saying he wants to be famous.
No. He might not want to be king. Being famous and being king are two different things.
Yes, exactly. So it's
they
just
could
words.
Be together, but
Definitely. But this is one of those things where it's just words. And when we're saying that, you know, Ragnar's name would fade into the distance, would kind of upset me. I mean, you don't say those things on Vikings.
Yeah. I just like that there's multiple times in this episode where they're like, Ivar, what do you want? Like, what do you really want?
Yeah, and giving him opportunity to just, like, bullshit everybody. Right? Mm-hmm. Adriadne is saying, I never that what Ivar told Vitsek was the real reason for doing all of this.
I never thought that Ivar told Vitsek the real reason for doing
all of this. Ivar keeps cutting him off every time Harold wants to talk about Vitsek. It's going to make Harold suspicious of them. Okay, Lorraine, you've got the predictions coming out. I want you guys to get this ready. I'm going to throw a number out at you in a bit. We're going to have you guys call in right at the end to give us your predictions for the next episode. Mm-hmm. I want to know who's winning. I want to know from which side they're going to be attacking. But I'll tell you guys in a second when they give me the number. All right? All right. We're finishing up the storyline here with Astrid. Now, Astrid is going to the whale hunter.
Oh, yeah, the story went... like,
yeah, it went real dark real fast. So yeah. The idea is just to deliver a message for your queen, which I think is a very appropriate thing to ask.
Like, fine, sure. And even her, like, boning him, I'm like, all right, makes sense. And she'd be like, okay, fine,
like she's taking taking one for the team.
Yes. And then they're like, oh, no, this is going to be gangbanging. And then she's like, oh.
Well, she
and that's where it went dark really fast.
Real, real fast.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted in this situation for her just to fuck the guys up. And the main guy being
that she would... She did do a decent fight, though, but it is...
The guy was even like, oh, come on. Like, what are you guys doing? You guys are 3-1. But she's a warrior.
Yeah,
like,
she is.
And you know why she's a warrior? Because she's going through all of that to warn Lagertha.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Do you guys agree with me? Throw that out in the comments.
I think she still loves Lagertha that she dealt with, went through all that to get a warning.
I mean, those flashbacks, she is in love with Lagertha. Yeah. Lagertha is
you
a
like
queen.
You like that flashback. You're like,
I like
hi.
That flashback. Oh my God, it was beautifully shot and done. The number, guys, write this down. 424. I'm going to write it down as well because I always forget. 424-256-1633. So get that ready. You guys are going to give us a call. I'll tell you when to give us your predictions.
Interesting. Lorraine said, that's where I started cringing too, the more group thing. It seemed a bit over the top, but it might be a setup for King Harold to quote-unquote save her. That's true. And then, she's still hung up on Lagertha. And then Taksunuba says, also the training she received from Lagertha. Yeah, she's a warrior and she has some training, but, you know, it is like 4 against 1. So, anyway, I think she did a decent fight, and I'm glad the show didn't, because the show goes really extreme on all kinds of things.
All levels.
But I'm glad this topic, they just did it enough to be like, we the viewers are like, this is uncomfortable, but they didn't keep going, because then it's just like, okay, this is gratuitous, like there's no point. So they did enough for us to be like, shit.
We get
and
the
poor
idea.
Astrid, and then we get it, and then I'm glad they moved on.
Exactly. And then there's a whole movie line after Astrid that, and by the way, might I say that they how do I say this? The way that guy went at her was very violent, and it looked painful.
The main whaler dude, leader.
I mean, we don't know about the other three. You know, they're like schoolboys. But
I'm glad they didn't show that.
I'm glad they didn't show. But that just.
There's all kinds of. Mm.
Let's end the storyline off. So the storyline ends with Hedmund and basically having to decide: is this guy going to fight with us or not?
That scene. That the actor who was yelling at him, I'm so glad he died.
He deserved to
it
die.
It was dumb. Like, I'm hoping they wanted us to... Okay, that's a question for you, viewers. Did you think it was dumb? Like, the first time he did that, like, at Haman, I was like, who's this? This extra sucks. This is horrible. Why'd they let that person be in the foreground? And then it kept going. So I'm like, okay, I really hope we're supposed to hate this person because it was... Right? I don't know. What did you all think? Leave a comment.
I love it.
Leave a comment. Yeah. Taksunuba says, that scene was awesome and hilarious. It was. It was funny because this guy was so weird that you're just like, what is he doing?
Well, that's the writing. That's the beauty of Michael Hurst and casting. It's like... make sure the viewers hate this person. What just happened?
I just dropped something. It's fine.
It's fine. Well, yes, and so this whole...
Oh, yeah. Lorraine said, yes, you could tell he was acting. We all wanted him to die. Right? Exactly. I was like, please die.
Good job.
I was like, Ivar, yes, and laughing.
Which it turns out, and basically telling Ivar, give me the knife and let's see if I want to die or if I want to fight.
Which that was very risky, but then again, he's not stupid. If he killed Ivar, they would kill him instantly.
Yeah, but at that point, I must disagree.
Did you think he was going to kill himself?
I definitely thought that there was a chance. I kind of knew he was going to kill the Vikings, but I would have thought, obviously, Ivar's not going to die because he becomes the great warrior. Yes. But he could have killed him right there. He could have. He's going to die anyway. Or he thinks he's going to die anyway.
Yeah.
And then he's ready to die.
Yep.
I'm just saying, he could have taken out one big heathen if he wanted
That's
to.
That's true.
You're looking very glamorous tonight.
Oh, thank you. I got dressed up for our show. Why? I did my liner for Vikings, you know, because I like Vikings.
Oh, I thought you had to talk about your nails and all that.
No, not this week, but I will.
Okay. Well, we'll skip
it
for next week.
Quick little shout out, and you guys will have to tune back in. I don't know if there's too many themes with Vikings, but yes, Espionage Cosmetics, if you guys, I know there's ladies and gentlemen and everything in between viewers. They have nail wraps and makeup that is nerdy themed, and I got a Christmas gift with that from them. It's awesome.
So nerdy themes right here on the Vikings.
Right? Hey, it's kind of like nerdy themes.
That guy that killed was a nerd, that's for sure.
No.
Yes. All right. So that's it for that whole Harold timeline. Let's move on to Kattegat.
I almost feel bad for him in regards to Astrid. Almost. Just a little.
Why?
Just because it's one of those, if you removed him from being the king and trying to take over, he doesn't really seem like that bad
you
of
like
a guy.
You like this guy.
I like, well, because it's a bad guy that, well, he's a... Is he a bad guy? That's a really good question.
Please,
he's
audience,
not...
please give us a, like viewers, let us know in the comments. Right now, we're going to read the comments off as they come in. Do you guys think King Harold is a bad guy? Like, in here?
Like Ivar, we know he's the bad guy, but we all love him because he's cray-cray beyond belief.
Great actor.
King Harold is like, he's not a bad guy that you're just... We've had other kings on the show where we're like, oh, they need to die, and we all hate them, and then we're happy when they die. But King Harold, you're just like, ah.
Perhaps he just comes across as a little more humble and less cutthroat.
It could be.
A little bit more humble.
Depending on how you see him with his family and his homeland,
you know what
than on the other side.
What I appreciate about him, King Egbert, this is King Egbert talking. This is your second name, right, Steve? is that his jokes are funny. He's got the stake on life. He's like, ah, I got a friend like that. His name is Corbus. He's just like, ah, I guess I'm a father now. He's just kind of like,
he's funny.
Funny. But he wants to be king of Norway and he wants to kill Lagerfrau, which immediately makes me hate him. So that's my
Ariadne,
point of view.
Though, I like this. I think Harold is a bad guy because he's the quiet guy who plots behind your back. True. Oh, I like this though, too. No, see, I don't want him to win. Larraise goes, I flip back and forth between wanting him to win and wanting him to be defeated. I don't want him to win, but I don't necessarily want him to suffer in losing.
I want him to suffer and lose because this is Vikings. He needs to be blood-eagled.
Yeah, and then Toxanuba says, I think he's evil, but they show us more background to help us understand him where they haven't really done that with Ivar. True, but then Ariadne, Ivar plots in front of your face. Yes and no. I think there's a lot going on with Ivar that he doesn't tell you about.
Oh, of course, because that's his whole mystical theme going
See,
with
oh,
him.
Oh, that was the other thing with Haman. We were kind of wondering about the motives last week. I think Ivar enjoys manipulating people. Come on, he does. So I think Haman picks up on that because he goes, well, don't you want to see, you want me to be alive so I can prove you right. And then he's like, well, I don't want to be right. So
exactly.
I think he enjoys manipulating those puzzle pieces.
Scene. Exactly.
Yes.
Oh my God. So much things to think, so much to talk about, so much to think about. That was the half done storyline with Ivar. Let's jump to Kattegat real quick. There's a short storyline here. Okay. So it starts off with Lagerfrau catching Floki. Floki's on his way to Iceland. And he just says,
we said it was Iceland.
Why did you betray me? You have no reason to betray me, but you can go.
I think it was wise on her part because she makes a great point. She's like, well, why stay if you don't want to stay? Because then she's holding people against her will and they're just going to not really be... She'll have better warriors when they love her and want to fight for her and not like, oh, I have to.
So you're saying that they... Like, why keep someone against the wall? Like,
because then they won't be like true good fighters for her. Because she said, she doesn't want to lose her best warriors. But why keep them around? Then they won't be as,
but
you know,
how bad were they struggling to get warriors? Like, I, like that.
They seem
that,
to get extra people from other places.
Sure. And the army was building in this. We're jumping a little bit ahead in the next episode. But Margarita's saying afterwards, after they were driving away,
oh,
like,
I want her to
don't
die.
You see that she doesn't have any power? A real king or queen would not have let this happen. And I kind of agree with her, because in the end of it is like, if you look at, if you zoom out and you look at the big picture, you have to win the war that's coming. What's going to win the war is fighters. So then,
but they're not going to want to fight. The only thing they fight is just to keep alive, not to actually do destruction.
But at least they're fighting. And then afterwards, you can reward them with saying, you guys can go to Iceland with Floki.
See, that win-win. You could do that where you go, I'll win-win. Let you leave if you do this fight. I thought it was wise of her to do it. And I agree with Aund. It was like A-U-D.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. Aund.
Aund.
Hood.
I agree with her that she goes... and Marguerite, yes. I hope Lagertha does rip out Marguerite's tongue. Please. And yes, thank you, Dimitri. I agree. Marguerite needs to die. See, that's one where I'm like, I'm ready. I have no sympathy for her at all. She's just, I don't care.
Bitch.
Such
a bitch.
She is. Totally. With Aund was saying how, you know, if it was a male leader, he wouldn't have the patience. Lagertha has the patience. Because I do think Lagertha is curious if Floki's right about this other place.
Good point of view.
Because
I like
that could be a resource.
Could be
in
her
the
escape.
End. Yeah.
That's what it could be.
It could be.
So now the Kattegat storyline moves on and we get the message finally delivered.
Dimitri goes, Ube should have strangled her in the bed. You know, I almost wondered if Ube, well, I don't think he's going to kill her yet, but I kind of was wondering. And then Tuxanuva says, our new ass log. Yeah, a little bit. Little bit.
Ass log.
You think so? Because you think she's going to be queen.
Who?
No, that's not going to happen. Aslog is gone with the wind.
See,
we're so happy
Emmanuel
she died.
Agrees with me about Lagertha. Yeah, but she shows her power by letting them go because she proves she wants her people to fight for something. Exactly. Those will be the better fighters when they want to fight. Yes, it's just
I'm
bodies.
I'm just saying,
but
if you don't have any fighters, then there's no point in any
of
this.
Clearly they got allies other
they
places.
They have the Sami, which we'll get to. So now they're warned about this fighting that is going to happen. And so this whale watcher is you know, popping up there.
He did his job.
He's did his job.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, I would have not have put it against him or away from him to not do it. And so Lagerfra is saying, Uba, you are going to lead the army. And this is where the whole situation with the seer comes in, where they say, like, this is going to rip
the world will just
rip
apart.
It apart. Or it's going to rip Ragnar's legacy apart. Which kind of is sad because I mean, that's what this whole show is based on, is Ragnar's legacy.
A bit. But you know, when Bjorn was saying him and Ube were talking about their legacy, they already, well, Ube doesn't, but Bjorn already has kids. They've continued the legacy on another generation.
Yeah.
So if Bjorn dies, which I don't want him to die, but if he dies, it's not like he doesn't have descendants anymore. And yes, it gets further and further from Ragnar, but it's not like he's going to fade away.
Exactly.
So
but
I thought that was
actually
a little
weird. Ube and Bjorn are saying in the next episode, like, it's up to us to keep his legacy alive.
Yeah.
Which are true, because I feel like they are the most like him. And the Kattegat storyline ends off with Marguerite basically just being told off by Lagerfra, saying, if you ever talk behind my back or try to counsel against me, I will cut out your tongue. And obviously, we all feel the same about that, because
please.
We read the comments. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Marguerite died, bitch. So let's tackle Floki real quick. So he gets to Iceland. It's like kind of a wasteland. First of all, I don't know how he got there.
I thought he found a nicer area there, but hasn't taken the people there yet.
At some point, he was taking the soil in his hand. He was like, yeah.
Yeah, there was a different
soil.
Area, too.
Yeah. So I don't know why he took him to, like, in the middle of nowhere. But so he takes him there, but they're not there yet. So they're walking. People are complaining. It's like, how long do we have to walk? It's like kids on a school trip. They are complaining. Like, you're a Viking. You're walking, you're not having been walking for 20 minutes.
And that really shows how little their faith kind of is, that
exactly.
They're waning so quickly.
So quickly in the first, like, mile, there's no milk, the land of no honey, there's the soil doesn't, you know, come on, shut up.
Have faith in him.
Quiet in the back seat.
Yeah.
You know?
You disbelievers.
This first, where did I write your flock? Is this where the first son gets born? In the geyser?
Well, they were, they had the couple in the sulfur bath.
That's the next episode, sorry.
That's okay, but
Floki was saying just like, you know, this is the kind of land, the kind of place where you are going to come with me. And first you're going to hate me, but afterwards you're going to thank me. And I'm curious to see if that's true.
And then, well, okay, interesting. Well, we have a couple comments about Bjorn. Real quick. Dimitri says, Bjorn is such a douche now. Toxinuba says he's turning more and more into Ragnar. Dimitri goes, dropping Torvi is biting off more than he can chew.
That's his rock. It's his support base. And she was a very loyal woman. So I agree with that.
Yeah. We'll talk more about that when we get to the Sami people. But Ariane says the area is definitely different from where the first time Floki was there. So I think there's more areas to explore that were more fertile and waterfalls and things. Yeah. So I think it's one of those. But maybe he should reassure them a little bit more. Well, be like, it's okay.
Maybe he's testing their faith.
Yeah. That absolutely.
Maybe
he's
testing, like, let's see who's the whiners.
Yeah.
And then we'll kill them in their sleep and then the rest of us can have a great time in the geysers. That is basically
geysers?
The geysers, sorry.
Geyser is like culture old difference, folks. Guys.
Yeah. That's old people.
Yeah.
Not geysers, geysers.
Geysers.
Hot sprouting geysers. So that is it for the Iceland. And this whole episode 6, gets end off with, well, the Mediterranean. First, let's just talk. So these guys, which is Bjorn.
They got back. That was a little weird. Sindrik. We commented, like, pretty much storm. Got out of there, got the camels, and immediately on boats. We're like, wow, that sped that storyline up.
That is like, so this just shows how.
But that's okay.
The storylines are a few months between each other, so it kind of proves that. But yeah, it's the
storm
coming, found the camels.
Yeah.
Go faster, the storm
and
is blind.
And went the right direction, even with the storm.
Even with the only direction you can see is the sand. These guys are really good at navigation. Finding Iceland again.
Right? I wondered if, well, I'm glad Floki did find it. I was kind of wondering. He's like, we can fight it back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so now these guys sail into Kattegat, which, what is
Dimitri
that?
Dimitri says, man, they had nitro on their boats. They got to Norway quick,
They got over that sand dunes quick.
But seriously.
Yeah, and they had nitro on those camels. Yes, Ariadne. Yes. But you know what? This show constantly does that where time is really kind of wonky in terms of either the big gaps in time they won't tell us. The birth and age of children is probably about the only real, like, obvious linear indicator. But, and then also, they could have storylines that aren't necessarily... They show it to us at the same time, but it could be, you know, one's way more ahead than the other. So
Which proves that,
like,
Kiri,
you need
because
to remember that.
Bjorn's son is pretty old now.
We noticed he was the one who betrayed Floki. Yes. Bjorn's oldest son is the one who betrayed Floki.
Bjorn's oldest son is the one that betrayed Floki.
Oh, we wrote his name.
I wrote it right here.
We wrote his name down, too.
Snafford. No, that's someone else.
No, that was the...
I've got it.
We
got it somewhere. So that basically wraps up episode 6, which is The Message. And so let's go headed on. We're moving and grooving. Let's go to episode 7.
Yeah. Quick back to our comment. Toxinuba says, well, not really. They got back in 2 full moons time. But the thing is, they could have been heading back before indicator anyway. Yeah. So it's hard to know when they started.
Who said that?
Gunther, that's Torvi's son by Jarborg. Oh, that's a good point. I thought it was...
Maybe.
But man, he really connected with Bjorn then because... Well,
They haven't really.
Thank you. Hugging. That's a good point.
So this is what happens.
So never mind. I don't feel so bad. This Bjorn son that betrays Floki.
What?
It's Torvi's son with her previous marriage.
Got you.
So that makes more sense. Yep. But I do think this kid doesn't care about his previous dad much, and Bjorn his.
I don't care to talk about this kid.
Okay. Anyway.
So these guys left on the. So they left the dunes on the Arabian sun. 2 moons later, they're in Kattegat. Okay? Mm-hmm. So now the episode 7, we are going to go and we can hit this off. Full moon, episode 7, season 5. And full moon is what it's called. We're going to start it off with Iceland. It's a really short one. So the people are still tired. They still don't know what's going on.
Yep.
This is where the first baby is about to be born in the new land. And some people kind of like it now, but then this one dude is doubting him.
Yes.
I wrote it down here. What do you think needs to happen? Do you think these guys are going to abandon him? What do you guys think at home? Let us know in the comments. Do you guys think someone's going to die in this new land? Or are they going to leave him? Or are they going to go back to Kattegat?
I think there's obviously going to be some sort of mutiny, but I'm really hoping either A, they'll have a sign, which would be great, but the show really kind of is fine line on magic and gods being visible to people. So it's like, they might not. I hope that they explore. Be like, well, fine. If you're unhappy, why don't you go off and go look for something? So then they could report back. Be like, no, really, we found some great areas. We need to go over that way instead. So I'm hoping that happens or something, you know.
Yeah.
Because obviously that tension is not going to
It's not going to last. Well. No, yeah. It's not going to last. And because he's basically blaming Floki of, you want to be king, you want to lead us. And Floki, I believe
Floki's I don't think Floki wants to lead.
No, I think his intentions are pure. He saw the gods in his own visions and minds. Thanks, Steve. And, you know, he's... I think this guy is wrong, even though I really appreciate that guy. I like... I think that is really good castings.
I like... This. Okay, already... maybe he will leave, and then he will get a sign from the gods and come back and be like, Floki, you were right! I doubt that's going to happen, but that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. But that's about it for Iceland, right? There's nothing else happening there. We'll see in the next episode what happens to Floki and his whole team over there. Mm-hmm. Let's jump back to England real quick.
Yes.
Okay? So the England storyline is also very short, very... I'm not sure I understand what is happening here. I remember you guys, the viewers, letting us know, the Viking fans, that this whole story ends off with Ivar versus Alfred in England. Yes. Right?
Right.
So we know Alfred
right.
is supposed to be this massive... power to be reckoned with, which kind of comes out here.
It's starting to head that way.
It's starting because he's saying, I don't want to be humble. I'm not going to walk in your footsteps, Father, when he prays to him.
Right? Oh, that was so awesome. I was getting goosebumps. I was so excited.
When you heard Æthelstan's voice?
When they were playing together, yeah.
So that was actually Æthelstan, like a throwback Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Æthelstan is back. Exactly.
Way back Wednesday.
Way back Wednesday, exactly. And so basically, so he's at the monastery in... Linden's farm, and the monk there is telling him
asking some questions. Yeah,
he's going to tell him about what happened when the first Northmen came, and that this was the judgment day and all that kind of stuff. And then basically just tells him, "Listen, dude. By the way, if you're so humble and noble, which is what he said he doesn't want to be, maybe you should stop talking Latin because maybe we want the whole of England to understand what the hell you're saying and spread the word of God." So he's getting feisty.
He's like just making some suggestions.
Yeah, and he's getting feisty, which kind of is developing his character. Because this is the first time we're actually seeing him grow and voice an opinion, other than like a few one-liners.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving him some real like storyline. Yep.
Ooh, and then he's like, "I have the cross that Ragnar gave me," and all the monks, the room goes all quiet.
But,
he's like,
Ragnar,
he's a devil.
He's evil.
And then he goes, "No, we are all angels and devils." It's like, wow.
Maybe you want to put that into your next sermon.
Right? You're
so
like, preach.
Cocky. So
Dimitri, Alfred
cocky.
Is very spiritual, just like Floki. He can see the spiritual world as well. Yes, I do think Alfred has something connecting him to the world, the universe, and what we can't see.
Norway.
Yep.
The lands of Iceland. Guys, I'm going to give that number again. I just threw it away, but it's up on the screen. 424-256-1633. I'll let you know in about 5 minutes. You can start calling in to give us your predictions for the next episode. So don't be shy. Make sure to give us a call. It can be really, really quick, okay? We would love to know what you have to say. Okay, let's move us on. So that's Iceland, England. And now we are going to go to Michot. We're going back to Harald, Ivar, and Hedmund. So many H's.
Yes. Well, not Ivar, but...
Yeah.
Well, it's H-I in the alphabet. H-I.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
Now, this scene starts off with them playing chess. I really am starting... I mean, maybe I'm just lagging behind, but I'm starting to get an understanding of how intelligent Ivar really is. He speaks
these
super languages.
Smart. Mm-hmm.
He learns how to play chess, which, dare I say out loud, I still can't do. So.
He knows how to read, too, because he was... Oh, yes. So, Dimitri, right on the nose. Brewing romance between Ivar and Haemon.
Yes.
There was a scene we all were like... Wait a minute.
I called that.
They were standing really close to each other, and I was totally thinking, they're going to lean in. No, okay. Are we projecting? No. There's something there. There's something. Yeah.
So now, there
is something. Ariane goes, I think we're already there. Right?
Okay.
Yes.
Dirty, you guys are so dirty.
I think you did have the right number. Somebody asked if that was the right number.
Yes. 424-256-1633. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah.
So these guys are there. And so, yes, it's a bromance. I called it.
Ooh,
there's more than just jealousy.
Plans. Yeah.
Yes. And now they're talking about battle plans.
Yeah.
And so, and Ivar's actually admitting that he's a little bit scared of Bjorn.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Who isn't scared of Bjorn?
Well, he's
Bjorn
like,
Ironside.
He's not that smart, but he's a good warrior, which I'm like, all right, you can respect
which
that.
Really plays out here because he's saying that while playing chess.
Yes.
Oops, wrong number then. Oh, somebody.
Emmanuel.
Nuba, you called the wrong number. Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
Give it a few minutes. We're going to let you know when to call. So it's 424-256-1633. 633.
Emmanuel says Haman is going to convert Vikings to Christianity. Maybe.
Maybe.
And agreed. Then people are thinking of shipping names for the two of them. And yes, their names are a little awkward to combine.
The Tucson Nuba, it's 1633 at the end. There's two threes at the end.
I will have to look it up for next time because I don't recall. But speaking of Vikings and Christianity, when I was in Norway and I did the Vikings tour, there was a church there, and that was they said it was one of the first Christian Viking churches.
Because of the monasteries the people have been over.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So I will figure out what that name is, and I'll either tweet it or remember it for next time.
We want to know because we're all about the Viking culture. I love it. So these guys are talking about fate and free will, and it's a big discussion between Vidsek and Ivar.
That was a good discussion.
Very good discussion. And so I want to know from you guys, throw that down in the comments for me real quick. Do you think it's fate or free will that he is fighting? Because that is what it's all about. I mean, all of them had to make fate or free will decisions. Vidsek joining Ivar, is it fate or free will?
Mm-hmm.
Him fighting with Ivar, is it fate or free will? What do you guys think? Let me know in the comments.
Haman, is it God's will that he should be fighting with Ivar?
What do you think?
I think it would be easier for him to digest if he thinks it's God's will for him to do that. But the thing, too, of where he could be better with it is humans shouldn't try to understand God's will. So that would make it easier for him to be like, yes, sure, and then go along with it.
It's not for me to understand. I think it's free will. I think there might be a bigger plan, but I think it's free will because you, in the moment, get to choose what you want to do.
Ariane says, I think it's fate that Haman is there with the Vikings.
Oh.
Yeah. Nice. And then a couple of people are wondering about Halfdan and Bjorn loyalty. I do think Halfdan is totally
we're
for...
There.
Oh, we're not there yet?
We're not there
okay.
yet.
Not
we're
there,
there
yet. Sorry.
Oh, hold on. We've got about a few minutes left. Let's end off the storyline real quick. So Astrid, the Swift Child, after she was basically raped, somebody they made her pregnant... and Harold is thinking it is his. So he's about to figure out.
I think it's his because someone commented. So they didn't have sex in the wood. It got interrupted. But I think they've probably had sex other times. So I bet it's his kid.
So now it. So.
But the other thing is, it's way too early to be like, you're pregnant. I'd wait for her to be like.
Who even knows? He was just. I mean, once again, timelines that. Yeah. I guess it is. Maybe it is his kid. How long after
well,
after
not
sex
even
do you start
maybe
throwing
it
up?
Is his kid, but it's one of those like just because a woman gets pregnant doesn't mean she'll actually come to term and have the baby. So it's like don't get that excited yet.
Yeah. I think the
calm down.
The percentages are pretty low at this
point. Oh no, that's not funny. Dimitri made a bad joke. No,
okay.
Bad joke.
Let's do this. We were talking about Halfdan and Bjorn. I want to know between Ivar and Hedman. Do you guys think that Ivar can trust Hedman? Because that is the next conversation. Can Ivar trust Hedman? Throw me a yes or no in the comments. We'll read them out as they come in. Do you think Hedman is going to turn against Ivar and just start killing heathens around him? That should also be amazing. I hope that happens. I think
he kind of doesn't care.
I think
Ivar is just like drop him in the middle and go.
But I think Ivar should not trust
Haman
him.
How would Haman know the difference between the two groups anyways?
The colored flags. They have colored. No, they have colored shields. We went over this in season one, Kerry.
Yeah, but what's the shields are gone now.
They don't have shields anymore.
Larray, the chat room is agreeing. Larray points out, though, Ivar can trust him for now.
Ivar can trust him
for now.
Yes. Okay, cool.
Not long term, but for now.
All right.
Then Bjorn Halfdan.
And he's saying, he's saying, believe in me. So now we get to Kattegat storyline.
Okay,
the last storyline
that
we can cover here before you guys can call in. You guys can start calling in now if you want to call to give us your predictions for the next episode. All right, so give us a call on the screen, 424-256-1633. All right, let's talk about Kattegat. So Bjorn arrives. Tori, no more love. No more love for Tori, but a bunch of kids.
Yeah, I felt it was very big of her to be like, okay, I know you didn't love me when you didn't come back before, so it's over. But you're going to take care of our kids, right?
Yes.
And he's like, yes, absolutely. So then it's better for her not to fight and be like, hey, come back. And like, if he's not into her anymore, why should she bother?
Why struggle?
Yeah.
But if she's still into him.
It sucks and she's upset. Yeah, I think she really loves him.
She's his rock. Just like Helga was, Floki's rock. Those sisters, they're real sisters in real life, by the way.
They have two kids.
Dorvi and Helga.
She has two kids of her own, and then with the previous marriage. Well, he's almost an adult now, anyway.
Stand by. Thank you. Hello.
Thank you.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, I know why. I'm watching it on live, and it's
delayed.
It's a little bit delayed. Who do we have?
Yeah, so this is Pax Nuba. I'm Brandon, by the way, coming in from Maine. I just want to say, awesome show you guys have. I love that you guys actually have an after show that I can watch and keep up with. I love it. My predictions for the season are, I think that, what's Torvi's son name? The one that
Gunther.
The king.
Gunther,
yeah, I think he's going to go into his first fight with Bjorn, and Bjorn's going to give him a new name, like what happened when Bjorn fought with Ragnar the first time they fought against Bobo.
Okay.
Very interesting. That's a very good prediction. Brandon, thank you so much from Maine. What do you think about the whole situation here with the... Who's the Samis, do you think? Who's the people that got there, the Samis?
I think that's going to be very much what happened with, like, Aslaug. Or, excuse me, Aslaug. Because Bjorn pretty much just dumped Tovi, just like Ragnar did with Lagatha. I think there's a lot of cycles that are repeating themselves, and it's very interesting to see what's happening, which is why I think... The Seer said that it's going to tear the world apart because there's a lot of the chaos and inbreeding and fighting inside the whole Kataka situation.
But is that necessarily a bad thing? Because it could be tearing the old world apart, making way for a new world.
Yeah, but the old world is what we love. We love the Ragnar world. That's what we love.
Exactly. Yeah, that, like just like Ragnarok.
Exactly. Yep. Brandon, thank you so much. Brandon calling from Maine. If you guys want to give us a call in. Bye-bye, Brandon. Thank you so much.
Skål.
Skål. Bye-bye.
I think Bjorn was liking his sexy time with his new bride, I guess, because they're like, yeah, we're going to get married. Because I think he needs some kind of crazy girl to keep up with him.
He needs it.
He needs
just
someone
like
that.
Ragnar needed it. Yep. He needs it. Those whole Lothbrok family needs the crazy.
See, that's the other thing. I think Torvi would kind of know, be like, oh, I know who your dad was.
Well, exactly. And so now the Samis are arriving. The Samis, yes. I'm not sure where they are, but they're from the north, they say. Maybe like a Russian kind of deal.
I kind of was getting that vibe.
Yeah. And so, but Bjorn, with all his travels... He's very cultured now, so he's got polite kisses on the cheeks. When have you ever seen a Viking do that?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm so impressed with him. And that's what traveling does to people. People, you have to travel.
Awesome.
You have to get out there. Mm-hmm. So he's kissing them, and he obviously immediately falls in love with the Sami's daughter, right? Yeah. The princess.
I was laughing at Arani says, I was thinking that scene was 50 Shades of a Grey thing. Yeah, that was a fun... We all enjoyed that scene because it was like, oh, right?
That's what's happening.
Yeah. Oh, and funny moment and excellent writing and acting. The moment we're all sitting around the table, like, what did you see on your travels? And Halfdan has a moment, like, after he's talked about the desert and other things, he's clearly thinking about some other things he experienced.
So what's the second most interesting thing you saw?
He's all...
Everything.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, Dimitri said, I really thought she was going to bite his balls off. No, no, they don't bite them off.
No,
they just chew them.
They basically just crush his... This is what... Okay, so just did you guys know?
James here to be like,
reindeer.
Break this down for us.
Yes.
Shout out to James.
Shout out to James.
Yeah. S-T-N-P.
S-T-N-P, exactly. Yeah. So what they do is they hold the deer's legs, right? Reindeer. And then the woman chews the ball sack to crush the balls. Why they do this, I don't know. I don't know if they don't
Why
want...
Why don't you just get like a hammer and smash it? Why do you... Okay.
Well, come on.
But she could just be saying stuff to, you know, freak him out or whatever.
So that girl's name is Snefrid. Snefrid is the queen's...
not a very nice name.
Not a very nice name, but that's the queen's name. He wants to marry...
No, she's a princess.
She's the princess. And so Bjorn wants to marry her, and now he gets
the
opportunity.
Funny callback, because his mom said, you don't know anything about her. Yeah, but I want to marry her. And now this bedroom scene, I hope he got what he wanted.
Exactly. And so now these guys are starting out to be a power couple.
Yeah, they could be.
Of the 1100s.
Well, I like that she starts off so demure and quiet and like just smiling at him. And then that's one of those lady in the streets freaking the sheets. Bedroom, she's just ready to go.
Well,
yeah.
Yes, but she's so
but
quiet
outside.
But I kind of
want them excited to be a power couple for her to be
always the quiet ones. 50 Shades of Grey, always the quiet ones. So now Margaret is saying, don't fight with Ivar. She's saying this to Ube.
Yeah.
And by the way, counseling against Lagatha. So this bitch is going to get a tongue cut out of her mouth.
Yeah.
She's saying, don't fight against Ivar because once we let Lagatha die, then you're the oldest son. You're going to be the next king.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I really hope he doesn't listen to her advice.
Oh my god.
No. I hope she dies.
I hope she dies too. Now,
I feel bad saying that, but I'm like, no, I don't think he's going to listen to her advice. He'll consider it, but I don't think he'll listen to it.
So Dax and Nuba are saying, who is the Sami? I think the Sami...
Who are the Sami? I think they're from... I want to go with more... I was getting more Russia, like
Russian. They got
inland.
The little hats on...
They also spoke a different language, but then they spoke the language with Bjorn because it didn't have it translated. But then again, they do that on this show too, where they'll translate it and then later it's fine. And so we'll assume they're speaking something communal.
Something communal, hand language or something.
Not really sure where they're from.
So, okay.
That'd be interesting.
So now this next scene is pretty cool. And it kind of tugs on the heartstrings there. It's where Lagerfrau is getting a little sentimental with Bjorn. Bjorn is saying, listen, Mom.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you. Like, you've come a long way from being
like
a farmer to
cry.
A queen.
Yeah.
I'm almost about to cry right now. And so she's doubting. She's reminiscing. She's Miss Ragnar or something. She's a mess a little bit. So she's maybe scared, I think, of what's happening if she's going to lose everything she's worked for.
Yeah.
Why do any of this?
Yeah.
Right?
I like, though, that Bjorn kind of fires her up by saying that how epic the battle is going to be, and then how she replies, yeah, I do want to be there for that.
Agreed. Exactly. Completely agree.
Like, it makes sense for her to be, reminiscing, and you're like, oh, I might die. Like, she's just really down. But then, oh, wait, I am a warrior. And then, okay.
I need to be there. Yeah. Beautiful. All right, so let's end off this whole season's 5, episode 7. So the ending scene was amazing for me. I loved how they wrote this. I love how they filmed it. The one side, you've got Ivar, like, building his game plan of what he wants to do with the fight with the chess pieces. Mm-hmm.
And then the other
side, you've got the round
They're
table
planning it.
Talking.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know from you guys, not in the comments now, but in the comments after this video is posted. So all the people that watch this video afterwards can read what you said. Put in the comments, what do you think is the game plan? Your prediction of where they are going to attack from the land or from the sea? My prediction, we're not even going to do the weird freaky lights. My prediction...
AfterBuzz TV prediction.
I guess we are doing... Oh, no lights. My prediction is that they are going to, like, just looking at the chessboard, they are going to be attacking from all four sides.
Yeah.
Two sides are going to be diversion. The main side is going to be from land, but the like a smaller diversion, but still a force to be reckoned with is going to be from sea. That's my prediction. What's yours?
Okay, there we go. Yep, Dimitri Ivar's going to do something out of left field. He's a great general. Yeah, I definitely wonder if it is going to be some... I'm leaning on the way that, yeah, it's going to be all four directions. Which one will be the most dangerous? Good question. Because I think they're just going to be able to plan it to get people from other sides. They do mention that they have more boats, so it could start with the land, by sea, and then they can have other groups go
divert
off into the... Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Guys, thank you so much for joining us for this episode.
Thank you.
My name is Jaco Winnings. You can catch me on Instagram, Twitter, at Jaco Winnings. Now, remember to please throw down in the comments everything that you think is going to happen in the next episode. Not in the comments right now, but in the comments as soon as the video posts. Also give us a thumbs up.
And subscribe and iTunes, 5 stars. Because, you know, the 1, 2, 3, or 4 buttons, they just don't seem to work. But that 5 stars does.
That's a sweet spot.
Yeah. My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And if some of you are new and you have no idea what I'm talking about, when I mentioned Norway, I have some videos on my Instagram of traveling to Germany, Norway, and London. I'm almost done with posting the travel videos, which is kind of exciting. Then I'll have to dig and see if I have some other ones. Happy New Year, and we're so glad to be back, and glad to be back with all of you watching Vikings.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.